Remember, it is not all bubble baths and shopping sprees and petties and manicures. There are times when, oh my gosh, it is. But there are a lot of times where that is just another way to escape from what you need most.
Hello and welcome to the Wit and Delight podcast. I'm your host, Kate Ahrens, founder of Wit and Delight. As a recovering perfectionist, mother of two, and juggler of many businesses, I know how hard it is to find time. Time to reflect on yourself, your choices, and who you're becoming. So if you're new to this podcast, sometimes you'll find myself and a guest discussing where life and style intersect and how the choices we make, both big and small, can help us find empowerment and self-discovery in unexpected places. Okay, now for today's episode.
For longtime readers of Wit and Delight, it will come as no surprise that my relationship to my mental health has been one of ups and downs over the years. I've dealt with ADD, anxiety, depression for as long as I can remember. And over time, I've learned to pick myself up off the proverbial floor on days when my mental health takes a dive. I've begun to shift my mindset around how I approach these bad days on a whole. Along the way, I've ever so slowly developed a list of steps that I can take to help myself move forward on days when I'm not firing on all cylinders. And as I'm reading this, it just so happens that I'm having a day just like that. So today I'm sharing the tips and tools we can turn to on the days we need them the most, broken up into five of the less than ideal scenarios in which we all occasionally find ourselves. One, you are disorganized. You wake up each day putting one fire out after the other. Your mind races always. And when one more task gets shoved onto your plate by someone else, you feel like a cup that is on the cusp of overflowing at all times. Everything seems equally important. You don't know how you'll ever get on top of your life. There's just too much to do and no time to do it. You often avoid these feelings by binge watching your favorite show on Netflix or scrolling through social media. So here are a couple ways to spend your mental health day if you are disorganized. One, visualize what it would feel like to have an organized and peaceful mind. Two, write morning pages. Dot down all your disjointed thoughts on paper as they enter your brain. Three, prioritize a to-do list by the smallest, most straightforward task you can complete. This gives you momentum to keep going. Four, try to keep only one primary to-do on your plate at any given moment. Write down one task, complete it, cross it off, then write down your next task and repeat the process. Five, file paperwork, receipts, and other clutter that accumulates in your wallet, drawers, and purse. Six, pay bills and set as many as you can to auto-pay. Seven, start a budget you can easily manage on your phone, like YNAB or Every Dollar. I am a huge YNAB proponent. Love it. Eight, follow up on texts, emails, and voice messages. Nine, organize a small area of your bedroom, closet, or bathroom. One of my girlfriends told me that those are the three rooms where it matters most that you're organized because that's where you have the most peaceful moments and the most personal moments with just yourself. So if your personal space is chaotic, then it kind of trickles into the rest of your life. 10, donate items that no longer serve you to charity or sell them. The second reason you might need a mental health day is you are craving connection. You are finding yourself feeling tired or irritable after scrolling through social media. You obsess over what you could be missing, both socially and materially. You think about what you could have said or done differently during that one meeting or first impression. You have a dull itch you cannot seem to scratch and an emptiness that food or drink cannot fill. You feel uninspired and the lack of energy to pursue your passions and hobbies is non-existent. You feel isolated and overwhelmed all at once. Here are 10 ways to spend that mental health day if you are craving connection. One, get out of the house. Just do it. Open the door, step outside, breathe in that air. Two, call a friend. Call a friend that you know is a great distraction or that you know really hears you and understands you if talking through it is something that you need. Take a dog for a walk. Dogs are a great way to feel that connection without all the human drama that sometimes we can't avoid in seeing other people, especially if you are feeling particularly triggered or really low self-esteem. Hanging out with a dog can really help boost that. Babysit. Sometimes being around young kids really sparks that, I don't know, that innocence in you and that that feeling of remembering that we're all just, you know, small humans that have grown into big babies at times. Connecting with small children is kind of that same feeling of connecting with puppies. They can oftentimes bring you back to this feeling of being seen or heard or needed or loved. Kids have a really wonderful way of, I don't know, kind of knowing sometimes when you need an extra cuddle or just looking at life in a way that is simple. Pay for a stranger's coffee. This is a great way to pay it forward, make yourself feel like you did something good to help someone else feel better. Oftentimes that can be contagious and make you feel better in turn. Journal. Writing through what you're feeling and connecting with yourself oftentimes might be, kind of the lack of connecting with yourself might be a reason why you crave connecting with others. So connect with what you're feeling right now and remember it's okay to kind of feel disconnected and not feel great at times. Take your mental health day with someone who is supportive and has ethical boundaries. It can be really great to spend this time with someone who can give you space to make choices that are good for you. Sometimes you can have friends that are triggering in some way, so it's important that you don't choose someone that you sometimes either feel depleted or have to kind of work hard to make good choices when you're around them. So you might want to find someone who and do this with someone who really respects those boundaries. 8 is cook something that you love to make. The act of doing something that you know well and have seen the finished result and enjoying it with someone can really foster feelings of connection. 9 is do something creative like painting or sculpting Play-Doh or taking pictures on a walk through the park. The point is to be in the moment and connect with what your hands are doing or what your eyes are seeing. 10 is volunteer or donate to a charity. That feeling is contagious, and it can often feels like sometimes when our life is overwhelming, helping someone in a small way can make it feel a little less daunting and overwhelming. Okay, maybe you need a reset. You've been feeling negative on most days, uninspired, dull, without the fire or passion you once had for experiencing life. You feel as if your relationships are heavy, and you're unable to see the bright side in most situations. You feel like the worst case scenario is always on the cusp of coming to fruition. You're down. You're worn thin. You can't see a way out of your current situation. You crave a new perspective, a fresh start, a clean slate. So this is how to spend your mental health day if you need a reset. 1, take a restorative yoga class and only focus on your breathing. 2, schedule an appointment for a sound bath or sensory tank. Sometimes getting outside of your physical body mentally, kind of having the mental help to do that can really help you leave that experience with a fresh perspective on how to walk through life. 3, speak with an energy reader or therapist, pastor, or someone who specializes in giving guidance to bring what matters into focus. Oftentimes when we're missing purpose, we can make a lot of decisions that are based on just doing instead of leading up to really what we want to get out of our life in general. And talking to someone who can really help you bring what matters to you most into focus, it removes a lot of the doing that might be wearing you down and gives you a chance to reset and make a fresh start on the coming days ahead. 4, list your definition of a perfect day. There are a lot of us who try to keep that all in our heads and we think that, oh yeah, I totally know what that means. And then you sit down to write about it and you realize that you can't really articulate it. You can't really articulate what a perfect day actually is. So take the time to write it down. You might realize that you are living a lot of it, but just are unaware of how great the little things in life already are. 5 is make a list of what keeps you up at night and make a vow to set yourself free from the heaviness that they carry. We don't have to choose to hold on to some of these thoughts. We can choose to let them go. In fact, they're just thoughts. They're not even real. And the stories that we tell ourselves are often really disconnected to what really is. We hold on to these stories because we think they're true, but often if you really ask yourself, is what I'm thinking about this really true? I don't know that a lot of us can answer 100% with 100% certainty that the stories we tell ourselves are completely factually true. So let go of what's heavy. Vow to say, okay, I'm done with this. You no longer serve me. Even if it feels like the worry is productive. 6 is sweat it out on a run or a brisk walk. I do this daily just to reset. 7, hang out with plants by gardening, pulling weeds, planting an indoor herb garden, the act of cultivating something living in your own home and having that be in close proximity to you can be pretty therapeutic and a great way to reset. 8 is walk through a guided meditation on shifting your energy and clearing out negative energy. This is something I do a lot when I get really stuck in a negative thought pattern. I have a couple meditations that I go to that really just kind of knock everything away and allows me to release any thoughts that are kind of preventing me from moving forward. Number 9, watch a funny movie or visit with a friend that you know can make you laugh. Oftentimes laughing is a great way to release those hormones that that really bring, you know, a better feeling of well-being, and sometimes it can be just as therapeutic as crying. And for number 10 is cry if you can. Sometimes we can't cry when we know that we need to. So try to make space to let it come when you can. Sometimes it comes up when it's least expected. And don't fight it. Let it come out. That feeling is meant to be released, and it's not yours to keep. And I think the longer we hold on to those feelings, the more insidious they can become inside ourselves. And they become a lot more harder to I think, identify. So let it out if you can. All right, the next reason you might need a mental health day is that you need a little self-love. And this is really this is kind of what people think about when they think about mental health days. And it's a big reason why a lot of people do need to take it. So this is what you might be feeling if you really do need to like lean into that self-love aspect of things. Your favorite way to blow off steam is to put yourself through a rigorous 8-mile run. You feel like a failure if you don't check off every box on your to-do list each day. You constantly focus on where you came up short. You're obsessing about the future, how you'll be able to live up to your potential. You often forget to live in the moment. You hate your thighs, your stomach, the way your arms look in that dress. You are, without a doubt, your own harshest critic. So here's how to spend your mental health day if you are identified with any of that above and need a little bit more self-love. The first thing on your list needs to be getting plenty of sleep. Give yourself the gift of sleep. You don't need to get up and get going right away. Let yourself heal. Number 2, touch yoga or therapeutic massage with essential oils. Get in touch with how your body feels. Smell things that are going to awaken different parts of your brain, get you in touch with your fingers, your toes, your heart, your breath. Just get in touch with you as a physical human being. Number 3, get a mani-pedi. There's no excuse. This is like all about just taking time to not do anything other than treat yourself. 4, get your hair colored or a fresh haircut. Oftentimes for people who are super busy, this is the last thing on the list, and you get the opportunity to say, no, today is all about that. Add a Himalayan salt lamp to your office or home, just something that reminds you to take a deep breath and connect with yourself. 6, buy yourself something you've been saving up to purchase. 7, enjoy some silence. 8, unplug and delete social media apps. 9, list what you're grateful for in your life. And 10, journal about the positive impact you've made on others' lives. The last one, and this is oftentimes me, so I definitely really went deep on this one, is if you are procrastinating. When you procrastinate, the small decisions you make to either do something else or avoid what you really need to get done compounds. And it gets to this point where you are like, I'm going to need an entire month to dig myself out of this hole. So let's talk a little bit about what this feels like. You know what you need to do, but you can't seem to find the motivation. You'll work through problems in your head, exploring every possible solution, but you'll fail to take the first step towards action. You can't figure out why it's so hard to translate your momentum into action. You get things done, but only when someone else imposes a deadline. You feel out of control, like you've lost your own agency and the ability to self-manage life. All right, so here's how to work past the procrastination, or possibly just work your way out of it. 1 is to get up on time and get dressed. It is a very slippery slope to think, oh, I'm having a mental health day, I should sleep. No, you need to get up and get dressed and get on with your day. 2, tackle 1 or 2 tasks you've been putting off for a while, whether it be a few days or a few months. Start with the thing you have been avoiding the most. It won't take as long as you think it will, and you will feel so good once it's done. You'll want to start tackling everything, so start there. Number 3, plan where you put all of the tasks you want to do. 3, plan where and when you're going to do the tasks you feel like you don't have time to make for. Schedule it out. Put it in your calendar. Commit to getting it done at that time. Number 4, list all the reasons you haven't been able to complete a certain task and work through a solution for each one. If there are more than 1 or 2 hurdles why something can't get done, I want you to sit down and ask yourself exactly why it's taken that long. And if I'm sure some of you guys have really good reasons, I have really good reasons, but oftentimes I don't have a good reason. Oftentimes it's I don't want to. Or it's going to be uncomfortable. And those are things that when you can get over those mental hurdles, it becomes a lot easier to stay on top of your life. Number five is set a timer for 10 minutes and commit to working on one task with 100% focus for the entire length of time. You'll find that using these timers are a really great way to get focus work done, and I use them for everything. I'll set timers for the smallest things I don't want to do. And it really helps me say to myself, okay, you're going to do this now and you can do something else after this. This is really great for multitaskers who feel like, yeah, I can juggle a lot of stuff all at one time. No, you need to do good focused work, and timers can really help you do that. Six, think about the simplest and easiest way to get towards a big goal. And this means like breaking things down into super small tasks. Myself, I have these really big lofty things that I want to get done by the end of the year, and they can feel so overwhelming when I sit down at the beginning of the week to start them that I put them off. So what I've learned is that breaking each phase down into the tiniest small task that starts with scheduling time to tackle the small tasks is a really great way to get started. On a mental health day, when you know that you're doing nothing but really focusing on ridding yourself of what procrastinating has done to you, it's a great reason to begin small. Seven is write a contract to yourself outlining the one way you'll commit to keeping on top of daily tasks each day. Repeat it to yourself every morning, make it simple, and give yourself the power in this. You are the one deciding what you get to do. Don't blame it on anyone else. Don't give your power away to anything else. Even your phone or your calendar, you're the one scheduling this. You're the one deciding to do it. You might write a contract and say, I'm going to hold myself accountable to me. Number eight, plan the rest of your week based on what work excites you the most. And that way you get to start your day with something that you feel energized and excited and have some wins behind. Sometimes that's the motivation and compounding inertia that you need to get the ball rolling and tackle some of the smaller things that you don't want to do. Nine, write down the most important thing you can do for yourself this week and plan on getting it done. Oftentimes we, especially when we procrastinate, we have this huge list of all the stuff that's wrong with our life that we've let slide, you know, to the wayside. Pick one thing. Pick one thing and say you're just going to focus on getting that thing done every single day. You're off the hook for all the other stuff. You'll be surprised how that compounds on top of itself. 10, read a book on making small changes like Atomic Habits or The Power of Habit. Atomic Habits completely changed my life, and it's a lot of the work that I've been talking about here with dealing with procrastination can be found outlined in that book. I would highly, highly recommend, and we've got a link here. I would highly, highly recommend, and we've got a link in the show notes. That is a lot. That is 50 ways to spend a legit mental health day, broken down by the reasons why you might need to take one in the first place. Remember, it is not all bubble baths and shopping sprees and pedis and manicures. There are times when, oh my gosh, it is. But there are a lot of times where that is just another way to escape from what you need most. So I hope that all of these little examples give you a great understanding of how you can make the most of your mental health day. And if you are free tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, stop on by our studio. We are having our first open studio, which is just dedicated to mental health day. You can come in. We have got coffee, some nuts, some fruit. Bring your water bottle. We'll have unlimited water. Be off the hook. Winnie will be there. It's just meant for you guys to come in, kind of sit on any of our couches, enjoy our space, enjoy the vitamin D that comes in through our windows, and, you know, meet us. So if you're planning on RSVPing, you know, just click up the link in the show notes so we just have a better understanding about how much coffee we need. Otherwise, if you show up, you show up. That's totally fine too. We're also going to be selling a lot of our prioritization tools and productivity tools that if you didn't want to pay for shipping or if you didn't want to buy online, that all the tools that are available on Shop Wit and Delight will be available for purchase at our studio. That doesn't include prints, which are all made to order. So come on by if you're around. All right, if you know of anyone who is really looking for a better way to spend their mental health days, send them this episode. And until next week, I will talk to you later.